Gecko. Death Remnant. With your host, GMC.
And a very good evening. This is GMC, live from Studio RevSpace in The Hague. And I'm really not your host today. I think Social Hack will be our host today.
It's always me.
It is. I wonder.
Yeah, I'm here at RevSpace, actually the first time. And we just came back from the camp, from Finofort. We drove from there to The Hague, 700 kilometers in a truck, which was quite an experience. And yes, now we are here at the studio at Revelation Space. I didn't know that this was the actual name of this. Why is it Revelation Space, GMC?
It's from the novels from Alistair Reynolds, one of my favorite science fiction authors, and he has a few novels put in something he calls the Revelation Space, and it just stuck, and I think it was a nice name for hackerspace. So
it's one of a novel in a series in the same universe.
Sorry,
it's all in put in the same universe.
Not all, just
all of them. Most of them, it is
about
four. It is Revelation Space, but all about nine other novels in the same time and space.
It's probably about four or five, I think, and a bunch of short stories. I think.
Yeah. We just heard another participant of our show. Maybe you should introduce him, GMC. Who's that?
That's Walter van der Holst.
Shut up. I was wondering. Good. Yeah, Walter, good to have you with us. And we have another guest from NYC Resistor.
Hey, this is George.
Short, but says everything.
Don't fear the microphone, George.
I mean, it's red. His microphone is red.
He can have a blue one if he wants.
Yeah, he can. By the way, I think our compression. No, okay. Good. Mm-hmm. Now I hear myself better. Yeah, we just came back, so the studio is not set up properly.
No, actually, an hour before I was unpacking the crates that we took with the truck back from the campsite, and actually we're all still very, very tired, aren't we?
Actually, I think I'll get sick. I mean, my body is really shutting down. Maybe it's the Dutch food.
It's your delicate position. Well, but don't throw up in my place.
Oh yeah, so many apartments. But yeah, I think the people are interested not in Dutch food. Instead, they are interested in the camp and in us. Explaining a bit what we've seen there. And I think we should start with our guest because that's always the easiest way to kick off a topic. And so maybe George, you can tell us something about this year's camp and how you've seen it.
So this year's camp was rather interesting in the fact that it was the same people, or very similar people from 4 years ago, my first camp. And as with all camps, I believe, it's more about the people at the camp than the lectures or anything else. It's just a matter about the people, and it was an awesome experience once again.
Yeah, I think no one really goes there for the lectures. I mean, I've seen two or three lectures, including the closing, and it still was a great camp.
I actually saw the closing in Berlin in some hackerspace, which I don't remember the name of.
It's probably C-Base then.
It wasn't C-Base. It was
CCC Berlin. CCCB.
No, it was Berlin Inn.
Maybe. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. You know, it has some advantages to be a week early in Berlin because then you get some information you otherwise would never get. When you hang around with Sven Gux, you get to know some people. How is it with music, GMC? Before we continue going on talking about the camp, Do you have something prepared?
Yeah, sure. I've got some nice classic here. It's All Control, Professor Click.
Professor Click. God, that's noisy. Yeah, we just found out that our guest from New York has been at the last game 2007 and also at HA 2009. And so it's kind of obvious to ask for an objective comparison because you're not from Europe, but you've attended these three European events. So what do you say?
So... the camp in 2007 was my first conference ever, and it was completely mind-blowing to me. I have never, ever experienced anything to that magnitude, and I don't think anything can compare to the amount of energy I felt at that camp because it was all new and shiny. Coming back 2 years later, the HAR, it was less exciting. they put us in this, like, bunker, like, about maybe 2 kilometers, I felt like 2 kilometers, away from everyone else. So if we ever went to anything, we had to walk halfway across the map. And
but that's all Nick Farr's fault, isn't it?
Not necessarily. it was Nick Farr who was trying to protect our, as he considered us, like, fragile Americans.
Yeah.
Your delicate senses.
Yeah, but, I mean... most Americans do whine quite a bit.
Now, he made us prepare a very nice and comfortable. He wanted you to have a roof above your head.
Exactly.
And everything. And so, that's the only.
Isn't he caring?
He is.
Could you please reduce the gain of my microphone because I'm clipping all the time? Yeah, thank you.
You know, I hate this compressor you made me use. So I'm going to.
Because you're not.
Bypass them.
No, I hear nothing, and
I can hear perfectly well.
Okay,
this
good.
This is indeed an improvement. This compressor sucks.
Yeah, well...
Because you don't know how to use it.
No, because I had no time to properly set it up.
As always. But isn't Nick Farr caring? I mean, honestly, he's like the big motto of the whole American hacker scene.
He is. So, again, from 2007, the biggest complaint was that people were not prepared to be camping. They didn't understand that camp meant camp. They didn't understand that they would have to set up a tent.
They were illiterate?
They were completely illiterate, or they might as well have been.
But how was it taken this time by the... Because the, for all intents and purposes, there are only, as far as I'm concerned, two complaints about this year's camp. And one of them is the toilets, and the other one is the mosquitoes.
I will miss this Russian army showers. Actually, I had dreams from them, honestly.
Well, I don't want to get into your dreams of communal Russian army showers.
Oh, my God, what have I done? No, but is this the reason why the Americans have been exactly between the two bunkers this time? I mean, you were right at the geographical center and close to the toilets and showers.
So 4 years ago, in 2007, we were actually in between the two bunkers in front of the bunkers. So in order to anyone to go to any talk, they had to pass through our camp, basically. This year, we were behind the bunkers next to the toilets. And I think the biggest complaint was, as an organizer, there was no problems as a for...
So
you were this.
You had nothing to complain.
As an organizer, it was very unorganized. As a participant in the camp, it was completely awesome.
Let's focus on the awesome part. I mean, what have you learned on this camp? Maybe
prepare,
which
prepare
new people?
For rain. Always prepare for rain.
But when it comes to lectures, when it comes to meeting people, when it comes to how to use light on a fighter jet, maybe.
So, the lighting guys did a fantastic job at like lighting up the trees. All the trees were three colors all the way up. The disco forest was unbelievable. Like, I don't think the disco forest was that shiny 4 years ago. The rays just went shot right through the trees and hitting the ground. It was a really majestic experience.
Trippy.
Very trippy, exactly.
I think it was part of the closing lecture that we were more beautiful even with less drugs.
Yeah.
So it's official. And maybe now we have 2007, 9, 11. What's next? 2013. It's again the turn of the Dutch people to make a camp.
Why don't your Austrians do it for us?
Well, there might be a plug. I mean, the Americans have tried doing a tour camp, I think, 3 years ago, which didn't really succeed. And now the Canadians are trying to do a soon camp, which will be next year as well. Mm. And they're trying to make it like the off years as well.
I don't think that we need any more camps because, honestly, this four-year iteration, it's like the soccer championship.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 years is enough, you know? Everyone tries to be...
I would say that the football championships are too much.
Too much what?
Well, when I become world dictator, everyone wearing orange during the world championship will be shot.
Again, you have the impression of the Dutch lawyer here who gives us the balanced view about world diplomacy. I would...
No, about effective final solutions.
Actually, the Belgians are doing a festival as well next year.
How is it called?
It's going to be a hackerspace festival. I'm not entirely sure yet what it will be called, but it's going to be difficult dividing my time. I mean, there's the Luxembourg thing, there's the Canadian thing now, there's the Belgium thing, there's Brucon as well, and the con, the CCC conference, and goes on and on. It's
yeah, I mean, you can travel hacker conferences and camps all the time, basically.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this is the right way to go. I mean, it's good when there are many opportunities for people to come into this scene, but so far the CCC managed to stay this focus point where you have nearly everyone who is also doing something in the subculture is coming there. And I think as long as they can keep this goal up, it will be hard. And it will be hard for the Dutch people to make something comparable in 2013. Honestly, I mean...
Personally, I think Hard 2009 rocked more than... But I may not you be entirely objective here.
I was a mere visitor at either event, and I think without taking into account the size of the volunteer groups they both can take on, because they're overlap basically, from a visitor perspective, Har was slightly run more smooth than the CCC one, especially in the run-up. One of the things... the CCC people, I hope, will improve in next editions is the be a bit more timely with the programs, because I know several people who didn't come to CCC camp because there was no program available, so they just booked a vacation elsewhere, went to a pop festival because it's festival season anyway in August. And the other one was that the ticket shop just sucks.
You mean the pre-sale CCC?
Yeah.
Good. I also heard from people who couldn't, some had issues with the system. For me, it worked perfectly.
Well, not even from a technical perspective. When you order tickets and you pay them, and then you heard for about 2 months, absolutely nothing, not even any confirmation whatsoever that you have a ticket. That's not good.
Yeah, but I don't...
But other than that, the camp itself was mostly... good, very good even.
I don't think that this is a particular problem of the pre-sale system. I think this is a general communication issue for the CCC, that it has big problems with reaching out for the people, with communicating its issues. I mean, they have great spokespersons, but besides that, it's quite horrible, to be frank, when it comes to public relations and even communicating within the hacker scene. Look at CCCDE. I mean, they still have two versions of their homepage on. There is this blog for events. There is the Datenschleuder, who is just, I mean, I can barf when I see that. It is a good concept for the 90s to distribute this type of knowledge, but not for 2011.
What does this Datenschleuder stand for?
Datenschleuder, that's a magazine, a printed magazine that is printed in an unregular iteration, and basically, what's the subtitle? Fachmagazin für Datenreisende. So basically, it tries to be a scientific and fact-based printed version of what you should know if you are a hacker or if you are Datenreisende, like a data traveler.
Sort of like the hectic we had with what's the subtitle? Magazine for Techno Anarchists.
That's this thing Rob produced, though. Wasn't it connected?
That was in the early 90s. It's probably the first time I ended up in the Dutch intelligence service files anyway, but yeah.
By being
a subscriber to the magazine.
I don't know. Maybe we play some music and then we will continue our show.
Yeah, sure. I've got one of my other favorites primed here, and it's We the Undersigned with We the Undersigned with a False Flag. We'll be right back.
I'm remembering. It's just a bit. History repeating, but it's just go back to playing with the
What was the song again, GMC?
That was False Flag by We The Undersigned.
Yeah, because we have to adhere to the Creative Commons license, of course.
Yeah, again, we now have to do that again.
Okay. Shortest bit of news. Maybe some people have missed it out, but Telecomics has gone into hibernation. Actually, their spokesperson has come out of cryptosleep, Cameron. But Telecomics as a whole has kind of shut down. And the gist of it is that several members of Telecomics have been suffering from burnout and they're kind of regrouping and trying to get a new energy in there. But when they will restart, I actually have no idea whatsoever. Several of their agents were on the show and explained a bit how they work, about how they provided dial-in numbers for Egypt and also to Syria, etc. But it was always very stressful and hard work. And
We even had some Telecomics radio on Signal for a while.
Yep.
That's sad to see them go. They've been really...
I don't think that they're gone indefinitely. I think they will be coming back in a few weeks or a few months. I hope so.
I think it's particularly sad because they are one of the rare, if not the only, constructive hacker organization of the last years. Because they really went out there and had a quite purely optimistic vision about what they want to achieve, and they were also, we know now that they are quite a young group of people, and very idealistic, and now they decided to quit. That's indeed very sad.
To hibernate.
Yeah, I mean, I had an interview. It will be online on Talking Anthropology soon, and hopefully also on Signal soon. We'll talk about the camp radio in a minute. But I interviewed Tomate or Herr Urbach from Telecomics, and the facts he gave me from the 30 people that started Telecomics back then, 6 are left, and those 6 decided to go into hibernation. But the other 24 are totally gone. I mean, they just are either said goodbye or just went offline and never came back, you know. So it is the dropout rate is quite high, and we in the interview we did between 4 and 6 a.m. That was the only slot we had left on Thursday or Friday. It was the general problem of burnout when it comes to activists and when it comes to people who burn for their project. I mean, Signal is also not
Well, we're also down to really 3 or 4 volunteers now.
We have a bit of a problem, but I wouldn't dare to compare it to Telecomics. Because in the case of Telecomics, they had they were talking to people who just were shot dead in the streets of Libya shortly after, etc. And that puts a lot more stress on you than merely trying to provide content for. Yeah, I mean, let's keep things in perspective.
Totally. But Tomat himself opened the problem up for burnout under activists or people who do something, particularly inside the hacker scene.
I mean, I've been active in local politics and everything, and you see the same there. There's a huge turnover in volunteers because people go in really with a lot of energy. They do a lot of things, and at some point they just break because it's there's only so much energy you can give. And
George, how do you deal with that at NIC Resistor?
So we have no one member controls anything. So as a result, if any member decides that he's no longer interested in something, it just falls away to the wayside, or another member automatically picks it up. That's it.
But no.
There's no infrastructure around it.
No, but no. Thoughts being put into, well, how do we keep the attrition lower? Well, neither have we, but it is an issue, I would say. Attrition among volunteers.
So we do a lot of effort to stop bike shed issues. So anyone who does something is automatically right. I mean, if you're going to argue a point, it means you feel incredibly strongly about it, then maybe you should be the one who's actually doing it. That's it. I mean, if you feel strongly about an issue, we encourage you. We make sure that you have what you need to get what you want done.
I like that. That's sort of
The duocracy, or I don't know how it is pronounced. But
the church is done.
Yeah,
which I, as a more of the dreaming thinking type, greatly admire, but I'm not a member of.
Lawyer. I'll make more fun about your profession in the future.
It's a social scientist. Come on.
I'm also working as a programmer. I mean, I can escape. But it's the same thing. I have to cross-reference again the interview with Tomati, because he also explained people come on at 3 a.m. into the IC channel and are strongly convinced that they have to change something, that they have to, I don't know, the dial-up system they use is not the right one. They have to change something on some screws. And he has to spend hours on convincing the other people that his approach maybe is wrong, instead of just letting them do it. And he then explained in the core team of Telecomics, the general approach was you had this one IRC channel where people were discussing the day-to-day stuff. And if someone comes with a new idea, then maybe other people form. And then they will start discussing this. And when they start to bother the other people, they will take a separate IRC channel. And maybe if then the project under this group of the willing evolves and something is done, then they will bring it back into the general IRC channel. And so this very decentralized and non-hierarchical model, I think, that is the best way of working in a IT-based model with people all over the world. Problem is, with three people, I think we are too tiny for that. And maybe Telecomics will come up with, when they come back at all. I mean, maybe they also reboot into a more stable version of themselves, because right now they have been overloading. They once started as a news agency, and at the end they did tech support for a whole country. It just can't scale, not in this sense.
Well, as you said though, if people splinter off to do their own concept or their own version of it, that's what should be done. And then you have multiple groups supporting it, and if you have multiple groups doing it, then it's much harder to shut down anyway. So, right now, Telecomics says, we're done, and then, poof, it's all done. If there was 15 groups doing the same thing, and one goes, poof, I'm done, there's still 14 left. the splinter groups are the best way to do it, in my opinion.
Fragmentation is the solution.
Yep.
So, in this sense, Anonymous would be the best model.
Exactly.
No, I don't like Anonymous.
Why?
Because they're Anonymous. Now,
come on, it's radio. More than one sentence statements would help me as a moderator. Come on.
How are you moderating?
I was told 5 minutes before the show that I'm the moderator today. So
okay, yeah,
I'm playing this role.
Anonymous has done great stuff, but at the end of the day, it is a herd. It's a herd. It's a mob. It's a digital mob, and they have done stuff, which I think, well, maybe I didn't approve of the means, but I did approve of the intentions. But one day, mob justice isn't mob justice.
But
it's yeah. they're the pitchforks and torches of the internet.
I'm
scared of groups of people, especially when they are carrying pitchforks and torches.
I think you're just scared of the masks. But
no, I quite like the mask though. And I quite enjoyed watching the movie V for Vendetta.
Yeah, the movie was great. But if you are at Talking Dog at CCC camp and suddenly you have a bunch of youngsters with these masks running around,
you should lay down the shrooms.
I didn't have any, not at that time. But anyway, I think we're losing tracks, and maybe it's time for another song, or maybe we should talk about Signal. GMC, what do you feel like?
Yeah, let's talk about Signal.
Okay. Yeah, Signal. I think first we have to talk about binary voice. We have to define those two terms because I had my problems with it. Signal is the channel you are currently listening, so maybe you know it. And binary voice is the, how to say, the event radio program of the Dutch people. Is this correct?
It's not Belgian, German, Dutch collaboration.
Binary voice is basically what came out of Har FM, the radio station at Hacking at Random. And it was not a purely Dutch thing. Belgium. It was of all nationalities. It was just people at Har 2009 getting together and making content. And yeah, so there was serious content, but also less serious content. And I think that also reflects the mix of, things you experience at camp itself. I mean, you have very serious conversations, and the next minute you're walking with the same people completely stoned out of your skull from hash brownies. And it's a whole spectrum. And I think that nicely reflects on binary voice. And I know you have some issues with it because you want to do really quality radio with perfect audio quality.
And structured.
And structured, yeah. And it is chaos. Camp is chaos. Camp is, I mean, power fails. Things happen.
Yeah, I mean, my problem partly was that the content we produced, the real content, I'm missing the word here, that really went well and that really was the discussion platform, a camp like this deserves, because you have so many brilliant people at one spot that you have to make interviews and that you have to make discussion panels.
Well, there are also lots of stuff at the camps which when you ask, well, has this any purpose? Well, you're not supposed to ask at Hacker Camp, has this any purpose? I mean, people wearing LED outfits, has that a purpose? Well, it did attract a lot of female attention, though, that could have been, but
of course,
it's not necessary to have a point.
I'm generally, I would never go on to somebody and dismiss his purpose at a festival or wherever. Problem is, if you're doing media, then you have to ask yourself this question. And especially if you're doing media in a team, then you have to know what the surroundings are, because I don't believe in the concept of free radio. I've been doing free radio now for at least half a year, and I know that it can work if you have the right team, which really works together instantly. But if not, you just have a mosaic of different types of content. And if you are a listener, then you cannot really connect. You know, you have at one slot, you have this quality talk radio, then you have something which is purely cultural, so after something political, then you have some totally off scale talk with mushrooms on the side. And I think you need some more regularity in this thing.
Brand identity.
Yes, brand identity is one of the things.
The corporate horror.
No, not really a corporate whore, more like a service provider for the camp. For example, I would like to have some concept like actually Tim came on to me and told me that every 50 minutes, every hour, to have something like, that's a news bulletin for us.
We did that at an ETA Zero. I'm not sure why we didn't it this year. Maybe should ask Brenno, but it's
because no one did it. I mean, that's coming back to the point we made earlier. Yeah. You can talk and talk and talk about how it should be, but unless you actually take control and make it so, it's all just talk, you know? And I noticed that I put a lot of effort into getting the studio off the ground, and I was basically the only one. I had to really pull on everyone to help and think about the program, think about these issues you mentioned. So,
but lots of people chipped in with equipment, though.
Yeah. Psychic did a great job.
So did Sven and Chippy.
I mean, if you look at the content, we did not prepare that well enough, and that's basically
the concept of free radio. There is a wiki with the timetable, and if you want to do a show, enter it into the wiki, and then it's yours. No further questions asked.
But yeah, if you look at Hacking at Random, for example, we had on every hour a news bulletin with news from the camp, news from the IT sec world, news from the You know,
We are running out of matu over there. Internet problems at this area of the camp. Exactly. Next few talks are this. Yes, really service radio.
Indeed, if no one stands up and I says I want to do it, and mind you, doing an hourly news bulletin is, especially during a camp where you want to enjoy the camp yourself, takes lots of effort.
Yes, and
underappreciated effort. And I think having a chaotic 2 hours of people shouting at each other is much easier to arrange.
Yes, but maybe not as much fun to listen, and you won't be, as a radio, a discussion point during the camp for the camp visitors, you know. I think more people would listen if they would know what to expect, and you cannot always...
I think it adds to the festival atmosphere, and this idea, there is this program, but you can do stuff if you want to, and you don't have to.
Yeah,
I'm not terribly convinced that... Actually, I found it kind of invigorating that this happened. I was kind of not really burning out, but even just doing a monthly hour, which I did on Signal, takes a lot of time and effort. Not to mention GMC time and effort on the technical side, but getting the right people at the right time and then having problems with Skype whatsoever is really frustrating. Now we're able to sit at a table, have a good conversation almost every evening. I think we have had the little slot I picked, I only had to resort to music only one time, I think.
Mm. Actually, I'm kind of skeptic about how many people at camp actually are going to listen to the radio. I mean, there's a lot of things to do there. You're not going to sit in your tent, turn on the radio, and listen to an hour of people talking about things you could see in reality. It's more like to the world. People who could not make it, people who are interested in what's going on, they listen. Archive it. I mean, we have it all recorded. We will be publishing some of these shows, especially the better ones. There's some great discussions in there.
I think we have four hours of Activist Hour, which I'm reasonably proud of. Which are good enough to have podcasts later on, etc. So, and it helped a lot. Several people were at the camp, which I otherwise would have really had to take much trouble to get them at the same table.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's a unique place with a unique set of people there that you can put at one table. And
I was so critical now, but honestly, I'm very happy with the show Walter did. I'm very happy with most of our shows where I could gain any access at all.
You had several great discussions about free infrastructure, peer-to-peer infrastructure, which was kind of the big theme of the camp anyway, as was also reflected in the talks, I think. There were several talks, several workshops on alternative infrastructures. Those are also...
I mean, we also saw that our radio really had an effect. I mean, The discussion I did with Constanze Kurz and Frank Rieger was mentioned during the discussion about the OpenLeaks guy who was dismissed out of the Chaos Computer Club. We had these Noisebridge people who introduced their Tor project and immediately got free responses from people who wanted to join that and also start to donate them to run a Tor exit node. Then we had the Queer Geeks show, which had an totally surprising but very positive feedback. And I think,
and we may open two documentaries at once.
Yes, which was totally unplanned and scary at the time. You don't want cameraman in the radio, believe me.
Especially not when people are shooting each other with Nerf guns, and the rest of them is toking up and at the same time having a serious conversation about copyright issues. Pretty surreal experience.
We need more bullets for the Nerf guns, definitely.
I think we lost two of them. I don't even know where they are in the boxes. They must be around somewhere, but I haven't seen them yet.
I think for our listeners, we will have the podcast for most of the shows at the Signal podcast feed. GMC, is this correct?
Yeah, you put some already on the Talking Anthropology.
Yeah, just one. All the Talking Anthropologies I did will more or less go into the .com of mine, but everything will also go to Signal.
Yeah, we are going to do some post-production. Cut out the noisy bits or the mess ups, all the fuck ups, some noise reduction. I mentioned that, right? And just put it, make it ready for just downloading and listening to.
Yeah, we have a ground loop in there, and it's kind of sad, but the content is good, and you can already go to signal.hackerspaces.org or talkmanthropology.com, and me. Do you have something on Signal already? I have at least
not
one
yet.
Episode.
No, I'm really working hard on the Queer Geek show, mm-hmm. And the rest will. Yeah, I mean, it will be there at some point. I mean, we're still tired, so
you will
sort of hungover.
No. Loud GMC learns the pleasures of post production.
I hate it. That's why I do live radio.
Yeah, live radio. But I like to do both, actually.
You're way too ambitious, young man.
I like pre-produced shows. That's also nice. Record interviews, mix it together with some music.
Well, but then pre-produced shows without clipping, without et cetera, et cetera. Well, pre-produced shows,
no.
I suppose.
I want the feeling in my nerves of live radio now making a mistake which everyone can hear.
By the question, someone close to me wanted to do a show on art and hacking. Would there be a market for it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the various hackerspaces, art and hackerspaces, they mix perfectly, and there's a lot of crossover there. That's
Actually, I'm also fairly positive because I think the Dutch hackerspace scene or the Dutch free software scene and the Dutch new media scene are kind of separate, mostly.
I have that feeling as well. That's I mean, on the one hand, you have Amsterdam. With all these institutes that do media art, etc.
Also in Rotterdam, V2.
True, yeah. On the other hand, you have these hacker spaces, some of which are more slacker spaces as well.
There's nothing wrong with slacker spaces.
True, but...
Yes, you're a cultist of the cult of Dan. Almost a jihadist there.
No, I mean, you're right. There should be more. I mean, in Rotterdam, we also have Mother, for example. Yeah. We did things together. Mother, for the people listening who don't know what it is, it's an art collective. they share a gallery together, and they also do art that's critical on technology, on internet, on, well, they made the social media suicide machine where you could commit suicide on Facebook.
And Pirates of the Amazon.
They did that as well. And did I mention
it was
that?
It was a wonderful extension to Firefox, which allowed you anything on Amazon.com to get it straight from Pirate Bay. No? Therefore the name, not Pirates of the Amazon.
Just for the record, by the way, Mac keyboards are really noisy.
Yes, I have to make some advertisement for us, at least now. I mean, we totally failed on the camp to make people listen. So.
Yeah, we didn't even pass out our stickers because we had to cut them first.
One reason.
Well, was it any less fun, though?
No.
No. Totally would go there again. Yep.
Time for some music, I think.
I like the sound of split. And I'd like to blow some, but I'm a poor machine. So how could I get high? How could I get high? I'm the silicon to be Rastafari. I would give surely some of my integrated in order to smoke some of this nice sticky weed. I can't support this fate, my process is treason. Open the Zion's gate and let your peace in. How could I get high? I am to silicon, to be Rastafari.
Well, we listened to a speech just up there, and this last song was Upside Brazil, Level 8, You Do Not Respond, goes on and on. Thomas, you are quite sick of the Netherlands, aren't you?
Yes, maybe it's the kitchen, I don't know, I really feel totally wasted and my body is fighting bacterias. Maybe the continuous lack of sleep for the last 2.5 weeks is showing some weaknesses in me.
Probably.
I'm getting old, like you.
Yeah, that's, and we also lost George, talking of attrition.
Yeah, but he's going back to Amsterdam and then Berlin. He's doing this hope thing and has to hurry.
Yep. So you've been to, well, you're in The Hague now. I showed you around a bit. We even took a bike. We've been to Rotterdam. You are going to Amsterdam still, but that's a boring city anyway.
Yeah, no, yeah, one likes Amsterdam.
It's a dead city.
Yeah, it's all commerce and tourists. And
actually,
it's kind of like a stuffed animal.
Yeah, that's the same impression I had when I was there in 2019, a few years ago, 5 years ago, actually. And I have to say, I enjoy The Hague and Rotterdam, beautiful cities, but there was something else we've done today, and there's also something special about Rotterdam, and that's the harbor, the incredibly huge harbor, to be more precise, where we went today and had a quite extended trip with the car.
It's only 30 kilometers long.
We skirted it. We didn't really go in because you can't. It's all secured. It's pretty dangerous over there. I mean, it's a huge industrial complex which really has no place for humans. Actually, it's all machinery, machinery.
It's really fun. I was once at one of those container terminals, and at the gate they have those nice photographs about you shouldn't park your car on the quay side, and they all had nice pictures of containers which had dropped out of the cranes and crushed cars underneath them. That's brought the message home.
It's really amazing. I went there when I was in university. We had an extensive tour of one of the container terminals. It is all automated. You can watch from a distance, but you can't go in because there's machines at work. I mean, the containers are being taken from the ships, dropped on automatic carts. They drive,
They have three concentric zones. The outside zone is fully automated. Then the inside zone is human. But even there, you don't want to walk around because when a straddle carrier is coming up to you, this thing is over 10 meters high and... you can be crushed in an instant. You're just an ant.
Yep.
It would be probably too expensive to take a human factor inside the calculation for this automatic process. I mean, you have so much cargo going in and out.
Actually, this is one of the few examples where automation is not that interesting. Their margins are not better than any of the Chinese. Or this is one of the few fully automated or almost fully automated container terminals, and they're hardly turning a profit.
But still, it is the kind of, melting pot, at least economic melting pot of all of Europe, at least Central Europe. And I find it fascinating. I've been sitting at the beach in The Hague yesterday night and watched all the big cargo ships on the horizon waiting to go to the pier. And it was scary to see so much cargo and so many different ships coming around. And honestly, it gives you this strange feeling of here is really something happening, and that's Europe from
The sad story is the ships off the coast of The Hague. Yeah. They're sitting there and waiting, doing nothing because of the economic crisis.
There's no cargo there. No, indeed, they are just sitting there waiting for a job, and it's easier to park them outside the territorial.
Cheaper, basically.
And the crew basically is as far as there's crew on there still, they just sit there on the ship and
do some maintenance and play poker all day.
Yeah,
but still, that's the point where Europe absorbs the rest of the world. I mean, everything goes there. Everything.
Sorry, the mouth of Europe swallowing the Chinese.
Not only the Chinese, also many cargo comes from Latin America, and you have all these resources and huge refineries and various brands. You can
see Reebok, Mordor,
for example.
We call those Mordor.
Mordor. Actually, it didn't look like Mordor. It's still the Netherlands.
You should,
it has the Smurf town approach to
you
it.
You should look at it at night and go along the bottleneck, the petrochemical industry, yes. And then it looks like Mordor with all the flames and the lights and the nasty smells.
But actually, I have to tell you, people, I mean, the Dutch are really crazy. I mean, we went to the fortification hill on the seaside, and we actually saw the process of regaining new land.
Yeah.
And it was also scary to see that, I mean, there you can really see with your own eyes that the whole country is below sea level, and you're basically fighting the sea all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is huge accident or something, or all people have to go to rest for 10 years, then your country will be a big ocean paradise. Nothing will be left.
It will be a massive swamp.
Like it was in the olden days. And we are actually still sinking as we speak. Yeah. I think we sink a few centimeters. Well, I think
it's about 1 centimeter a year, something like that. It's a meter per century in some areas.
No.
And I mean, my first approach was, okay, in a country like this, the politicians have to plan. They have to make 5 years, 10 years, 20 years plans to survive.
It's all been taken care of by the water management bodies, which are the oldest continuously operating democratic institutions in the world. They date from the 1200s, and nobody actually bothers to vote for them, so they just go on.
I mean. It's a kind of conservatory approach they have to do, or I mean,
I don't know. Actually, the last real long term project that we've seen regarding keeping the sea out, that must have been the Delta works.
Well, their extension, the ones at the mouth of the what's it called? Nieuwe Waterweg.
There was some. That's what I mentioned earlier. They have these huge doors that can close off. Yeah, they're
about as big as the Eiffel Tower on its side.
Yeah, and then two of these, and they just move in and close off the entrance. Harbor. Yeah, the sea, the harbor from the sea, and this is all operated by computers as well. Because if you close those off, ships can't go in or out anymore, and that would mean huge economic losses. So if you have a human operating these machines, he lives there, his children live there, his family. If he thinks there's the slightest danger of the lands flooding, like it did in, I guess it was the, what was it?
1953.
Yeah, in the 1950s, he would just close them and forget about the economic damage. He wants to protect his family. So it's all automated.
And do you have emergency plans in the case that the water really comes? Do you have... deployed system to warn the people, and you have bunkers where they can go.
Really, not
swim.
Did you swim. See
yes, that to add to your field of feelings of confidence, you'll be staying in my apartment. If the water really comes, apartments on the first floor, the water will still reach the second floor.
And which floor is your apartment?
First.
Okay, great.
Actually, the latest...
You must have good swimming classes in school, or at least...
Yes, but you have to keep the water out.
It's not going to help, sir. It's so cold. You'll be dead within 2 minutes. We're trying to. I mean, we've got the sea at one end. At the other end, we have the rivers that come from Austria, Germany,
France, even France. Let's not keep out the French this time.
No. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. But they come in from the other side, and when it rains really hard, as it will be doing more and more, so to say. All that water also comes into our country and has to go out to sea, and it's also a real danger of flooding. So what we're currently doing is taking some less populated areas and just giving them up, basically. We say, okay, so if the floods come, we open up the gates and divert all the water in there, after evacuating the people, of course. So that's another way of dealing with this mass of water that's swamping us.
The reason why the Netherlands choose this path over conquering other areas...
Nobody else wanted this.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's such a huge effort to go into the direction of the sea. Why do you do that? I mean, it would be easier to just get some colonies far remote, or, Belgium.
Them.
Take Belgium. I mean, no one uses it. It seems dry, or...
We have Belgium. But they revolted. Ungrateful bastards.
I don't know.
No, it's merely a matter of logistics and just history, because indeed a few hundred years ago, lots of land was not lying as low. then it was cultivated, started subsiding, and well, then building a small dike doesn't cost much money. Then the then subsides even further, so you heighten the dike a bit, and then you end up with extensive works, which are just accumulation of the work of centuries. Mm-hmm. It's not like someone stepped in and said, "Well, let's spend a few hundred billion euros on reclaiming this land." It was more a bunch of fishermen and farmers sitting around. And oh, what can we do about those floods which pop up every once in a while? Well, let's build a little hill. Well, let's connect those hills.
It's kind of scary. I mean, I want to finish the circle I started with GMC in Vienna. As we did this radio show in the Radio Orange studio and talked a lot about Viennese culture and our trip through Vienna and the conference we had back then in Intercon. And now I'm here, as I promised back then on the show. And it's kind of hard because it's so different. The Dutch culture somehow seems non-existent. We talked so much about the good and bad parts of Austrian history, and when I had so many interesting quotes in the Netherlands of we don't have culture, we don't see ourselves as severe to anyone, and our cuisine is also non-existent except a few winter dishes, which didn't
and the croquette
Fabo. Even the palace in The Hague, where the queen is sitting, it's like Smurf Town. I mean, honestly, it's not bombastic.
So you're calling out Queen Smurfette. I think that I quite like that, actually.
You haven't actually seen the palace of the queen, so...
We drove by.
No, it was the Peace Palace. That's something else entirely.
There was this thing where you're so... You told me that... And then you get some ice cream in this courtyard, and next to you is the Prime Minister.
Yeah, that was the trolley,
that's
man.
That's her working palace.
Ah.
No. That's not at all... That has nothing to do with the Queen. We went to the Binnenhof.
But the house is almost quite opposite of that.
No,
it's the picture you have in Wikipedia when you enter The Hague, so it must be of some significance. And I'm more and more confused. Although I got a better picture of the Dutch people.
We used to be a part of the Habsburg Empire, by the way.
So it's our fault then. The bad Austrians.
We consider it, Charles V, Philip II, and then we revolted against them. For taxation reasons,
mainly.
Kind
of picture now. It's either the French, the Belgians, or the Austrians who are guilty of the current state.
Don't forget the Spanish.
Ah,
yeah.
Why the Spanish?
And the Italians, because they hired...
I explained to you, the dish we had tonight, hutspot, it was basically invented. They made this, it's a traditional dish. After the 80-year war, the Spanish retreated, and all they left was a bunch of potatoes and carrots. So, we just
threw
them together.
That's a slightly distorted version of the story, but, well, that's...
Before the show, I explained to our American visitors, that's the typical European situation when you have an intercultural meal. And, I think that's maybe the reason why the union will never really work. But anyway, we hit the 11 p.m. line now here in our time zone, and we have at least one last topic on our list, and that's the future of Signal. And to start this off, maybe we should go into the current state of Signal. And therefore, GMC, I would like you to give us some status update. When someone goes to signal.hackerspaces.org, what will they see and what's there yet? So far?
There is not much there yet. Currently, it says we're broadcasting live from camp. I will take down that notice right after this show. It's a really bare bones site. I mean, if I design a site, it's functional. And this is one of my site designs, which is basically no design. It has the logo, it has a link to the archive, it has a link to the podcast, and there's a big schedule on there. Which is empty at the moment because we never planned further than CCC camp, which is sort of a milestone in my life at least. And we started out, I don't know, 1.5 years ago, I think. It was on ETH0, actually.
Yeah,
it was a year ago.
A year ago.
Ago.
Yes.
And well, we started out with a few shows that went on regularly, but of course, as things go, people become father, people get other projects, they burn out, whatever. I think we currently have a core of three, maybe four programs going strong. Def Random, my own show, which is basically just light entertainment, bringing cool projects, nice new hackerspaces, events, whatever. Anything that's remotely related or that I fancy, I throw it in. And I try to get a lot of interaction there, call people and have like four or five items in the show. Of course, there's Talking Anthropology, your show, Thomas, which really goes more in-depth. You usually have one interview, one dialogue going on. And I think you also managed to like cover the whole globe. You've done a show on India, even a show on Africa. And that's really cool to see all these things that you generally don't hear about. And yeah, you dive in deeper than I would in my short items. Then there's Walter with the Hacktivism Hour,
which I think will be changed to the Activist Hour permanently.
Activist Hour, okay, yeah. And that's still, I mean, you had a concept in mind when you started that, and we're still not there because we're working on this setup. I mean, your ideal would be to have a table and have the people that, well, like at CCC, have some
but
people.
But you can't have the table, so the ideal setup would be to have a kind of a tricked out asterisk setup with a conference call and having a kind of a remote conference room with excellent sound. That's also the idea. And have to gather people on a monthly basis, at least, and have conversations about ongoing net political related subjects.
Current affairs. In Europe, in America, yeah.
And well, so far, we didn't always manage to produce a show on a monthly basis, but so far we had some interesting guests.
Absolutely.
I have no idea right now what will be the upcoming month or months be on the show. I have to think about that a bit. For at least one thing, I'd like to also to take some detours into culture here and there. And
actually, that's also fits nicely with direction I want to take also in Signal. I want to would like to involve more people who are passionate about open licensed content, open licensed music, Creative Commons, but not only. I mean, there's lots of licenses there. And well, at CCC, I met a few. I met a few in Belgium before. I think there's a lot of room there to get these people to also, because now I'm mostly playing and you as well. We do a show, we check out some songs on the various sites and play what we like. There's some people who really want to be more to Creative Commons music. They want to like get out the best and make sure people hear it and remember it and listen to it and donate to the artists or whatever. And that's a concept I quite like and want to expand upon with Signal.
I would greatly appreciate if you would. If we could be able to do so. And, I think new content providers, people want to do discussion shows on their own or want to do just music. I mean, just collecting a batch of you think good music and explain why you think it's good. There's a load of interesting so-called net labels out there. And who produced, let's say, a podcast or a list of music which they think is interesting on a monthly or bi-monthly or whatever basis. And it would be cool if we could manage a few of those people to get involved as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, the core of Signal so far is standing around this desk. We three are basically those who remained.
Well, and don't discount the people from Makers Local 256. They've been doing some great shows.
Yeah, but in the last months, you know, it got kind of thin. And Astera and Fish both had their good reasons for stepping off. But we have to acknowledge the situation as it is. And
Good replacement.
Yeah.
I think the show must go on.
Yeah. We're going on, absolutely. People are enjoying it. We get good
maybe
feedback.
Apart from this hour, because we have been a bit talking too much about ourselves, I think.
Yeah, this is a kind of...
it's a bit masturbatory.
No.
It's nice, but not very productive.
We should at least make our point clear, because if we have listeners, so in the theoretical sense, then...
How many listeners do we have right now, James?
They should know.
I know, that's one of the improvements. I mean, the site, as we said earlier, is kind of bare at the moment. That's one of the improvements we want to make. Right now, it's just some scripts thrown together. We want to make a more integrated environment here. So that also becomes easier to... submit your content. If you're doing a show, it should be a matter of just clicking browse, pick the file, upload it, and everything is handled, including show notes and whatever, and podcasts.
Archives and metadata, yep. And a full structured representation of all our content, which is searchable. And this is definitely the direction we are heading for, and we have some ideas when it comes to software, what to use and what to modify. But I think of Signal mostly as a platform and as a kind of core idea which connects all of us. And when I look around, I mean, for me, the project is a success, because I see how at which point we were this September 2010 when we started, and I see where we are now, and we made big improvements personally and also as a concept, as a show, you know. We definitely have some big stones before us, for example, really reaching out to the people, getting more listeners, getting more content contributors. And these are all things that should be easily done if we can find the time. That's the biggest problem so far. And so volunteers on every front are eagerly willed to be accepted. I mean, if someone wants to engage in audio technique here in the Netherlands, if someone wants to help us with the software, if someone wants to do PR, if someone wants to do just music, whichever it is, we are an open platform. And as I said at the camp, we also see ourselves somehow as content and infrastructure providers, you know?
Yeah, and on that note, one of the things we did at CCC was work together with the Xenim streaming network. I really like that. I mean, they also have a network of well-listened to shows, mostly in German. I think there could be some mutual benefits in tightening those relationships.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we have a streaming server which is unused except 2 hours a week, and they have the platform in the German-speaking podcast sphere. And so why not combine those two?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think the next step would be to get... 2 hours per week full again, to get Thursday between 10 and 12 as a regular schedule. I think we should leave those empty slots empty as a message, and work on the internals, on the software, and also...
Maybe loop a message.
Loop a message?
Yeah, your content will be most welcome.
Yeah, maybe with your brilliant voice, if you give us some... it's a me, Jaromir Kain.
No, I was more thinking along the lines, all these planets are yours, except Europe.
No, but it's true. I wanted to do more with jingles as well. Again, it takes time to produce. And we had a brilliant jingle maker, Asset, who made our station call.
I love it, really.
It is a cool jingle, but sadly, he's also very busy now learning all kinds of cryptography tricks and, getting really good in that.
I'll beat up my girlfriend's son again and tell him to.
Can we help? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if we should play some music or if we prefer to end this show as it is.
I would say call it quits.
Let's end it.
I'm so tired.
I want to sleep. I want to sleep all my tiredness of CCC camp off. And
I was so tired all the day long when we drove around The Hague and Rotterdam. And now I'm in front of a microphone. It's dark outside and I feel like, yeah. But okay. Better make it short. And
you know, you can just clean up the studio. Then you will be tired again. Normally it's me doing it. So now I get, I can see how this works.
See my smile. And That's it, probably.
Good night. Sleep tight.
You should know. Yes. Yeah, have some wise words for our listeners.
Yeah, if you want to comment, where can people reach us? We have still the binary voice at something.
No, we have Signal at the email, signal at hackerspaces.org. That's, okay. That's where we are.
Yeah. And personal contacts one can also find. I'm Social Hack. This is Walter van Holst. Can put
it's
in the
just Walter. It's okay.
Walter van der Holst.
Yeah, Google Walter and find you. No, Walter.
I was about to get nerve guns again when you called me back to the studio, and I'm now regretting that I came back so quickly, because you would have been shot in the face.
Now we are from the internet. You can find us there. And
good.
Good.
It's a pleasure. Hear you soon.
Please dial *611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces.